إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. All you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Today, continuing with our class in Al-Aqidah, we come to the Aqidah of Abil Hassan Al-Ashari rahimahullah, and the paragraph that we've been on for a while, which is his statement rahimahullah, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِعَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَنَقُولُ إِنَّ الْحَوْضَ وَالْمِيزَانَ حَقٌّ وَالصِّرَاطَ حَقٌّ وَالْبَعْثَ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ حَقٌّ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُوقِفُ الْعِبَادِ فِي الْمَوْقِفِ وَيُحَاسِبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Abul Hassan al-Ashri rahimahullah, he says, and we believe in the punishment of the grave, and we say that the hawd, or the large body of water presented to the Messenger of Allah is true, and the mizan, or the scales, are true, and the sirat, or the bridge over Jahannam, is true, and the ba'ath after death, or the resurrection after death, is true. And indeed Allah Azza wa Jal will make His servants stand at the gathering place, and He will take account of the actions of the believers. Whereas he meant by a statement, وَيُحَاسِبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this week, inshaAllah ta'ala, as last week, we'll just be taking a look at some of the ayat of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning this issue of reckoning. He will take account of the believers, or He will reckon the deeds of the believers, or however you're supposed to say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-An'am, and inshaAllah ta'ala. If I give the number of the surah and I make a mistake, then inshaAllah ta'ala don't hold me accountable. But when I memorize the surahs and stuff, we memorize the name instead of the number. As it seems like most of the brothers memorize the number instead of the name. So even though I know the name, it's not necessarily that I know the number, but I'll try to get as close as I could, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, which is surah number 6, verses 61 and 62, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ ويرسل عليكم حفظة حتى إذا جاء أحدكم الموت توفته رسلنا وهم لا يفرطون ثم ردوا إلى الله مولاهم الحق ألا له الحكم وهو أسرع الحاسبين. Allah تبارك وتعالى, he says in this ayat that, and he, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Al-Qahir above his servants. Al-Qahir, or the powerful one with the highest affair, is above his servants. And he sent angels, guardian angels, so that when death comes to you, they will take your souls and they won't be negligent in fulfilling their duties. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant when he said, وَلَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. And then you will be taken back to Allah, your master, of your true master, الحق, مولاكم الحق, مولاهم الحق. And he has the commandment and he is the quick and taking account. Hey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse he shows that he is your Lord, your true Lord. He is the one that has the verdict, meaning who's going to Jannah and who's going to the hellfire. And he's the quickest one to take account, meaning in 1 hour everybody's account is going to be settled. Like in 1 minute everybody's going to be judged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to look at their good deeds, bad deeds, wear everything out and give the account, meaning you go into Jannah or hellfire, just like that. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, everybody's being provided for all over the world. Animals, insects, human beings, everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is handling the whole world at any given minute. And the same thing when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to take the account, He's quick at taking the account. It's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to have computers weighing out everybody's good deeds, bad deeds, waiting for the computer to figure it out. How many good deeds you got? Wait a minute, how many bad deeds you got? Does he have any voluntary deeds that can make up? Or should I let him slide? Is there any intercession for him? All of that. You know, like somebody taking an audit or whatever, it could take weeks or whatever, depending on the size of a corporation or company. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the quickest at taking account, meaning in 1 second everybody's deal is done. So don't think that on that day that it's going to be difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as some of the disbelievers have in their belief, after Allah works, there's time for some rest and what have you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asrahul hasibin. He's the quickest at taking the count, and it's just going to be and everybody's account is taken care of. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our account easy. Rather, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not even to take us into account, but just to enter us straight into Jannah. We make these du'as, we got to be serious with this du'a. Because whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says, and we'll get to that, if Allah takes you into account, you finish. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your bad deeds, you finished. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to hold us in account for what we do. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Anbiya, that's verse number, chapter number 21, inshallah, verse number 47. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this verse, and here we see the connection of this whole paragraph that we're covering from the belief and the punishment in the grave, and the belief of the hawd, and the belief of the mizan, and coming down to our account. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, number 47, and the scales will be placed in justice on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and no soul will be wronged. And if there's a mustard seed worth of a deed, then we will take that into account. And a mustard seed, I never saw it. Maybe some of the people know it's supposed to be a real small seed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this example to show Don't think that there's something too small that you did that I'm not going to hold you accountable for. And we should look at this especially when we look at doing good. Don't think that something is because it's so small that it'll keep you from doing good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no matter how small it is, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to take it into account. And sufficient is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are sufficient as to be the ones to hold you accountable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for him. And we're just mentioning this as we were trying to tie in with the other verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to need a team of people to tally up everybody's deeds. It's sufficient that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the one to handle this, and nothing is going to be too small that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to miss it, as Allah is going to take everything into account. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in verse 202, ومنهم من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار أولئك لهم نصيب مما كسبوا والله سريع الحساب. And from amongst them are the ones who say, our Lord, give us the good in this world and give us the good in the hereafter and save us from the fire. They are the ones that will have their portion for what they did of reward, and Allah is quick in taking account. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He's referring to those ones who say that they want the good in this world and not the good in the hereafter. As opposed to the kuffar, all they want is this world. Because all they say is, you know our life is only this life, and when we die it's over with, so get yours while you can, because you only live once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he mentions the statement of the disbelievers, and he mentions it before, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And for those who say, oh my Lord, give me in this world, and he's going to have no portion of the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the other side, and this is the side of the believers who say, give me the good in this world. And the good in this world is to be in good health, to be a believer, to have knowledge of this deen and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, correct worship and correct belief. All of this is a part of the good in this world. And the good in the hereafter, of course, is Jannah. And what else can someone want besides Jannah? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah and everything that comes along with it, and to save us from the fire. Those people who believe in this world and in the hereafter and want the good of this world and the good of the hereafter, they will get the reward for what they did in this world and the hereafter. And Allah is quick to take account. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quick in giving the people the good that they deserve as a reward. Those people believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, desired the reward of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then Allah is going to be quick at giving them their reward. Not like sometimes in this dunya, you might work and then they delay your check. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be quick at rewarding those people who deserve to be rewarded, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. And here we see in this verse something that needs to be emphasized all the time, and that is this correct belief that a believer stands upon. This corrects his deen. This corrects his actions, his character, and his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we're just saying in this ayah and in these ayahs in general. When the person has the correct aqidah and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he's aware of what he needs to be aware of. As we're covering this point of belief, that you know that you're going to be held accountable for what you do, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take into account everything that we do in this world. When we hold this correct belief, then you see it in our deen. When you see someone with good character, and you see someone with good worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you see someone with a good understanding of this deen, then you see a person with the aqeedah of the Muslim that is correct. And this is the aqeedah of the Salaf al-Salih. And this is something that we should use as a yardstick for ourselves, as some of the ulama used to do. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he does at the end of his Al-Aqidatu Wasatiyya, that's been translated into English, alhamdulillah, with a nice little explanation. And it's available, and we encourage the people to get this book, to benefit from it, from the Darul Salam publications from Riyadh. Shaykh al-Islam, he ends off this book of Aqidah with a little chapter on the character of the believers. Because when you believe properly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the people can see it on in your character. And the people can see it in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're on the sunnah and you're far away from the bid'ah. And the people, they can see it in your understanding of the deen, that your understanding is correct and not deviant. This is because that heart, or that morsel of flesh in the body called the heart, if it's correct, then the rest of the body is correct. And if it's corrupt, then the rest of the body is corrupt. And this is the importance that we need to put on our aqidah in general, point by, and then point by point, and specific as it will reflect in our deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us perfect our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah to Ali Imran, and there, in this class, just as in the class before, really there's just so many ayat and so many hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that's authentic, that we're just trying to take some of them, inshallah ta'ala, in order to benefit. And we're trying to take each one of them to have its own special benefit, inshallah. As we see, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in this ayah, وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ خَاشِعِينَ لِلَّهِ لَا يَشْتَرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he says, indeed, from Ahlul Kitab, from the Jews and the Christians, or from amongst the people of the Torah and the Injil, are those who believe in Allah and believe in what was revealed to you, meaning the book of Allah, the Quran, and reveal and believe in that which was revealed to them, referring to the Torah and the Injil, the way it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His messengers. And they are humble to Allah, meaning they are obedient to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is being humble. Being humble is to do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do, and to stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to stay away from. Humble is your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't purchase the ayat of Allah a miserable price. They don't change the meaning of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to gain something in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the Christians and Jews who wrote the book, their book by their own hand, and then said that this is from Allah in order to gain a small price in this world. They don't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to those from amongst Ahlul Kitab who don't do that. For them is their reward with their Lord, and indeed Allah is Sari'ul Hisab, or quick to take an account. Here, it's been narrated that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best of the authenticity, we'll mention it coming, but the benefit is in the ayat, in the first place, that those people who believed from Ahlul Kitab, and that which was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to the Qur'an, then they're going to have their reward with Allah. These are the believers from the Jews and the Christians, meaning those who believe in the Qur'an. And they submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can, and this is just a continuation from the khutbah the other week, how can somebody say that a Christian, he's a good Christian, he has riba, he's buying his house on riba, you calling him a good Christian because he don't drink, for example. As if riba is okay. And this is the crime that many of the Christians have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them in the Quran, that they were prohibited to stay away from this riba, but they did it anyway. But they took this riba anyway. The Jews and the Christians in their books. And I think I had mentioned this one time when I was speaking to my aunt who's a born again Christian. And I was in a Christian before Islam, and I really didn't read the Bible, and I don't know nothing about Christianity much, except a little bit I learned from Ahmadi that Hafizullah. But at any rate, I believe in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and what he says is the truth. And I remember talking to my aunt, and I mentioned this, they were coming out of the projects, and then they finally got a chance to buy a house on riba, of course, and they're supposed to be born again Christians. And then they're all encouraging me, yeah, inshallah, you'll be buying your house soon, and so on and so forth. So I said, are you paying interest when you buy your house, or do you just bought it straight up? So they said, yeah, you know. I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us in His book, the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 4. Let me just try to get that ayah. Yeah. Ayah 161, where Allah says, وَأَخْذِهُمُ الرِّبَى وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ. And there, referring to the Jews and the Christians, as you can see in the context of the ayah, and they're taking this riba, and they were prohibited. I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited y'all in your own books. And then she just said, I know, but are we going to go back to that project? How are we going to call these people believers when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are you going to believe in Him and disobey Him? And call your disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a good believer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah from Surah An-Nisa, the people were surprised, Ya Rahmatullah, that there were Jews and Christians, and in specific a Christian, who never saw the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, but believed in what was sent to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The people were saying, how is that Christian going to get his reward? And they were referring to An-Najashi, the African king of Habasha, who heard the message of Islam and believed in it during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, though he never met the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And they said, because of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to show that from amongst the Jews and Christians are those who, when they hear the Quran, they believe in it, and they're going to get their reward. And there's no contradiction in the Jews and the Christians getting the reward and the Muslims, except that the Jews and the Christians that are going to get their rewards are the Muslims that used to be Jews and Christians. Those Christians and those Jews that are going to get their reward, they're the ones who, when they hear the Quran, they believe in it. Those are the ones that are going to get their reward. As far as the Christians and Jews who listen to the message and then disbelieve in the message, they are the real disbelievers. Nobody is a bigger disbeliever than the one who has believed in some of the prophets and disbelieved in the others. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and we mentioned before, they are the real disbelievers. They're not just regular disbelievers like the regular disbelievers, but they're the real ones, as they already have some guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they rejected the rest of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ra'd, that's Surah number 13, inshallah, verse number 18, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُ لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ لَفْتَدَوْا بِهِ أولئك لهم سوء الحساب ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He tells us in this ayah, for those who answer the call of their Lord, they will have al-husna, and al-husna is Jannah. And for those who do not answer the call, those who listen to the message of Islam and then disbelieve in it, if they had the whole earth, if they owned it, and then that which is equal to it, and tried to use it as ransom to save themselves from the punishment of Allah after they disbelieved in Allah, it won't benefit them. For them is an evil account. And their abode is Jahannam, or what an evil mihad, or what an evil place to lay down in. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that this account, as we were looking at the ayat of those people who are going to have a good account, there's going to be people who have a bad account. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us amongst them. There are the people who do not accept this deen of al-Islam, who will have the evil account. They will be the losers, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever desires a deen other than Islam will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be amongst the losers. He will be amongst the losers who will have an evil account, a bad account, reckoning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them into account for what he did, he's going to be a loser. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in the other ayah, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and when we look at the deeds that they did, then we just made it dust particles scattered about. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and this is how the account of the disbeliever is going to go. He did all of what he did in this dunya. And some of them did hard work. He worked all of his 30 years until he retired from this company. He bought his house, his car, retired, sent his children to school, as if he did good in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take a look at all of those deeds and say, did you believe? He's going to say no. And Allah is going to make all of those good deeds like dust particles. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. Hard work that will enter him into the hellfire. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I think one day he was looking at one of the monks from the Christians or the Jews, and you look at him, he left this dunya and he spent all of his life in worship. No benefit in this world and the hellfire in the hereafter. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was thinking about the ayat and Surah Al-Ghashiyah, all of that hard work and then entered into the hellfire. At least he could have got like a little fun and play like the rest of the kuffar who are going to the hellfire. They try to get some enjoyment, then go to the hellfire. But they're going to be people with no enjoyment and then go to the hellfire. And no matter what they do, good or bad, when they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is going to make their deeds like a mirage. Everybody's thinking, are you telling me that old innocent lady who was so good all her life, she's going to the hellfire? Yes. Just like we're telling you the man in the desert dying of starvation, it looks like he sees an oasis or something, and then when he gets there, it's dirt. The same way. And this is the same way of those people who disbelieve, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah takes their stuff into account, it's just going to be like this. Place all those good deeds on the scale, and when he says disbelief, it's not going to hold any weight. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verses 104 and 105, where Allah tells us, that's 105. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the ones. Rather, let's read the ayah before, inshallah. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Those people who lost their share in this world and they think that they were doing some good. Those people who are losers in this world and think that they did some good. They are the ones who disbelieved in the ayat of their Lord and meeting Him, and their deeds will be rendered null and void, and they will have no weight on Yawm al-Qiyamah. All of these deeds, when they're placed into the scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is going to come up empty. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these ayat, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the same Surah Al-Ra'd, he said that was number 13, verse number 21, والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah he says, and those who connect that which Allah has commanded them to connect, meaning to keep relations with those who Allah commanded to keep relations from amongst the family members. And they fear their Lord, and they feel fear an evil account. These are the successful. Those who fear meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having their deeds be rendered null and void. They fear that their deeds will be turned into dust. They fear that their deeds won't have any weight. They feel that their deeds will lead them to the hellfire. These are the real believers, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way that they're going to fear this evil account and this evil reckoning is by correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteous good deeds. This is the only way to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fearing of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala isn't a statement that many of us make, I fear Allah. Like the brothers say when they come to get married, I'm a God fearing brother, you know, I'm looking for a sister. As if he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala isn't a statement on our tongue, but it's correct belief in our heart that shows with correct righteous deeds. This is the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people can see him from his deeds and his understanding and his practice of this deen. The people see those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who fear him. But just to come straight out and to say, I fear Allah. Allah knows if you fear him and he's the one that's going to hold you in account, why don't you tell Allah that you fear him? Instead of telling us, why don't you tell Allah, oh Allah, I fear you. Because Allah is the one that's going to hold you account in account, and we're not going to. And this is why the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us to say, if we think that a person fears Allah, هَكَذَا أَحْسَبُهُ وَاللَّهُ حَسِيبُهُ وَلَا نُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is the way I see him. Like if somebody comes and they ask me, what do you think about brother so and so? InshaAllah ta'ala, he seems like a God fearing brother, nice understanding of his deen, his character is good. I recommend that you marry him to the sister if that's what he's looking for. This is the way I see him. And Allah is his real judge and the one to hold him in account. And we don't praise anyone in the sight of Allah. This is what is proper for us to say if we're going to praise someone or to say that someone is God-fearing. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, so that we keep ourselves in check and the people in check, that Allah is the only one who knows who fears him. As he tells us, فَلَا تُزَكُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنَ اتَّقَى. And don't sanctify yourselves. Don't think that you are the ones who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah knows best who fears him. So it's only this is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the only one who knows who really fears him, and he's the one that's going to take us into account for what we do. And we ask him to make our account a good one and an easy one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in this next ayah, and I wrote a little star down in my notes because there's some importance, inshallah ta'ala. And that's in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's statement, وَإِمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْضَ الَّذِي نَعِدُهُمْ أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, either we're going to show you what we promised them, or we're going to take your life before that. All that is upon you is the spread of the message, and we're going to hold the account. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be worried about the disbelievers. Either we're going to destroy them and let you see it, or we're going to take your life and then destroy them in the future. All that's upon you is to deliver the message, and we're going to hold the people in account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is showing us that Allah is the only one that's going to take people into account, not us. And that what's upon us is the deliverance of the message. And the message that I wanted to say is that we have to understand sometimes what prevents us from working fi sabilillah is we only looking to see something in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never held us accountable for any results. Allah is taking care of all of the results. Allah only entrusted us with doing the job. We have to work fi sabilillah, and whether we're going to see the fruits of our work or not, that's not on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may show us the fruits of our work, and He might not show us. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear to us is that we have to do the work, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to handle the outcome. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to deliver this message. Was the people going to accept it? Not going to accept it? That wasn't for the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. What was for him was to deliver the message. And we know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he was patient in delivering the message, and people didn't accept the message. And even when people accepted the message, the people didn't accept the message. And I was thinking about this ayah in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to be on the minbar giving the khutbah to about 8 people. Everybody was outside getting paid, doing their job. Nobody was answering the call of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, though they answered the call to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And we see the same thing nowadays. It's as if we answered the call to Islam, but we haven't answered the call to Islam. We answered it, alhamdulillah, by accepting Islam, and then we didn't answer it by not standing to do what is needed to spread this deen and to establish this deen. We're falling short because we only want to work if we're going to see the results. Akhi, put your money down, this is going to be the results. Okay, he'll put his money down. Put your money down, akhi, inshallah, Allah's deen is going to be established. Now, you just let me know when it's going to be established, inshallah, my money is waiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't promise anyone, as He didn't promise His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He saw the victory, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Allah didn't promise Him that He was going to see it. And the same thing for us, Allah didn't promise us that we're going to see Islam being established in America. That we're going to see all of these hospitals and stores and streets and apartment buildings, whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't promise us, any of us, that we're going to see that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear to us that it is compulsory that everybody works for that. And you leave the results to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in this world and in the hereafter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful, whether we see it or we don't see it. And of course, it's better to see it. But let's know that when you work in fi sabilillah, you're working to be rewarded by Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whenever somebody's working, and we have mentioned this point before, that some of the people who have volunteered hours of their time fi sabilillah are going to get no reward other than, you know, brother so-and-so? Man, he used to work hard for Islam. That's his reward. The statement that the people say, he worked hard for Islam. Why? He invalidated his reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, all of that hard work and no thanks. I ain't gonna say no thanks. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to overlook what you did fi sabilillah, except that we were looking for the thanks of the people. And you see many of us that if we don't get the thanks of the people, then we stop working fi sabilillah. As if we say the people are ungrateful. What that got to do with working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen? The people, we're not working for the reward of the people. If we're working fi sabilillah, we're working to get our reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give your money, not to get something back, to get the reward with Allah. Ya akhi, I put all of that money down and the school failed. Okay. Your reward isn't lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only commanded you to give, so you can get your reward with Him. But sometimes we get chapped off by the shaitan, and by the people who encourage us to work to get our reward. Ya akhi, I've been helping out all these years. You see, the people don't even appreciate it. They won't even mention my name or whatever. This type of attitude just invalidates what you do fi sabilillah. Otherwise, the people who really work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, they don't care if they see the results or not. They don't care what they see. All they're worrying about is doing it to get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in Surah Ibrahim, which is the next chapter, number 14, inshaAllah. That was number 13, Surah Al-A'raf. Ibrahim is 14. Verses 40 and 41, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he tells us, and this is from the dua of Ibrahim, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, and this is from the dua of Ibrahim, Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my Lord, make me from those who established the salah and from my descendants. Not only that I established the salah, but that my children established the salah and that their children established the salah. And this is a sign of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, make me amongst those who worship you. And for my descendants, those who worship you and submit to you. As salat is one of the biggest acts of worship. And Ibrahim Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning that as the most important act of worship. And then he went on to say, my Lord, you are the one who accepts my dua, or you are the one who accepts my ibadah. And dua, he said dua has the meaning of ibadah in many of the ayah in the Quran. The word dua means worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah is the one who accepts this worship. O Allah, make me amongst those who worship you. And O Allah, accept my worship. O my Lord, forgive me and my parents. And Ibrahim Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was making this dua to forgive his parents, this is of course before it was made clear to him that his father was the enemy of Allah. Because after this, Ibrahim, he said that he was free from his father, as we know in the verses from the Quran. And forgive the believers on the day of Hisab, on the day of account, on the day of reckoning, forgive the believers. So here, Ibrahim Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the believers on the day of Hisab. And we say Ameen. And we make this dua that Ibrahim Khalilullah, he makes. And this is the importance of reading the Quran and memorizing the Quran, as many of the ulama and their books of dhikr and dua, when they give us examples of what dua to make, they give us the examples of the dua of the messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as they come in the Quran, as we see many of these dua. And if we want to memorize some of the dua to answer Allah, then amongst the best du'as are the du'as of the prophets of Allah and his messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ghafir, verse number 17, Ghafir is chapter number 40, verse number 17, اليوم تجزى كل نفس بما كسبت لا ظلم اليوم إن الله سريع الحساب. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, the day when every soul will be rewarded with what it did, and there will be no wrongdoing on that day, no oppression on that day. Indeed, Allah is quick in taking account. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just showing that this account is going to be fair. Nobody is going to be wrong, everything is going to be just, and Allah is quick at taking account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 27 in the same surah, وَقَالَ مُوسَى وقال موسى إني عذت بربي وربكم من كل متكبر لا يؤمن بيوم الحساب. موسى صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, indeed I seek refuge in my Lord and your Lord from every arrogant person who does not believe in يوم الحساب, who does not believe in the day of reckoning. So here Musa is seeking refuge in Allah, our Lord and the Lord of humanity, from being amongst the arrogant who does not believe in this day of reckoning. And this is the belief of the Muslim, the believer, who believes in this day of reckoning. And we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Musa, and this is from the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that we seek refuge in Allah from these people. these criminal people that we see outside, we have to seek refuge in Allah, that Allah protect us from them. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our families and our children from these people. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being amongst them. And who can protect you better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is as the believer fears none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the best protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ahzab, this chapter number 33, verse number 39, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who deliver the message of Allah, referring to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in specific, and then those who spread the message of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and they fear Him by belief and obedience to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't fear anyone other than Allah. These are the real believers. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deliver the message of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to humanity. And then they fear Allah by doing what He says and stay away from disobedience to Allah. And then they don't fear anyone other than Allah. And Allah is sufficient as a hasib. Allah is sufficient to take everyone into account, or to give everyone his reckoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Naba, I don't know the number. Surah number 78. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا, referring to the disbelievers. Indeed, they don't think that they're going to be taken, they don't think that their deeds are going to be taken into account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the disbelievers, showing that they live their lives like they're not going to be held accountable for what they do. And we see this, and this is the lifestyle of the young nowadays. They act as if they don't have to answer to anyone. Who you? And they say this to everyone, but they're not going to be able to say that on the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds everyone into account. The number? Ayah number 27. Oh, I wrote it down right there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, and this is, as we always try to emphasize in our belief all the way through, they don't believe that they're going to be held accountable. This is who you see them in their lives. And this is why people say, you Muslim? Not that he doubts that you say you are Muslim, but he doubts that you really believe that you're Muslim, because if you believe, as the Muslims believe, you believe that you're going to be held accountable. And if you believe that you're going to be held accountable, why are you still living with that lady for 5 years? You ain't married to her. And somebody asks you, why you Muslim, akhi? And he gets all offended. Why is he offended when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the characteristic of the disbeliever? Is that he doesn't think that he's going to be held accountable. Tell me this brother living with this girl, shacking up for 5 years, he think he's going to be held accountable. He can't think Allah is going to punish him for this zina. He can't. Because if he did, he wouldn't be living his life like that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to obey Him. And this was similar to the dua of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atika. O the one who changes the hearts, change our hearts on obedience to you. And this dua, all of the believers shall hold fast to it, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who taught us it. And when Allah changes your heart over to obedience to Him, then it's easy for you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see this sometimes when you talk to the people who have been tested with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you tell them, Akhi, why don't you just leave that stuff alone? He say it's hard. You're looking at him like he's crazy. It's hard. It's hard to do it believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he sees it impossible. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep this evil impossible to us. Alhamdulillah, many of us, we see it impossible to fornicate with a lady after this deed. How in the world am I touch somebody after Allah guided me to Islam? That's not permissible for me. And the brothers say, Akhi, it's hard, Akhi. She did a bid with me, as some of the brothers be saying. And they make this the biggest proof that they have in the dunya. A girl, she's going to be down with me for 7 years, Akhi? And you're going to be telling me a Muslim lady going to do me better than that? How are you going to say, is a Muslim lady going to do you better than a lady that's saying, come on to the hellfire, and you said, okay. Yeah, there's no comparison. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it very clear. They call you to the fire. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these disbelieving women who the men fornicate with. They call you to the fire. And the believing women calling you to Jannah. Here is the halal, the tayyib. Come and enjoy it and get rewarded and to be have Jannah for it. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, this is the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Quran to make it very clear to us. When you marry the halal, Allah rewards you just for the marriage. That's completion of half of your belief. Completion of half of your deen just by saying, I marry you. Just by your giving of the dowry and accepting to marry the sister, half your deen already completed. This is what the sister, the Muslim sister, is calling you to. And then every time you have relations with her, you're rewarded, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam taught the believers. And the people said, you tell me we're going to like fulfill our desire and be rewarded? The Prophet ﷺ said, you see, when you're doing it in the haram, you're going to be punished. Then likewise, you're going to be rewarded. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam encourage us to seek this reward. All of this reward, you decide to take a lady that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is calling you to the fire. This is all she's calling you to. By practicing the haram and then eventually leading to disbelief. And to show you how close you are to disbelief is the believer's statement, you Muslim? And why he asking you if you Muslim if you ain't close to kufr? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us die on this deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, and that's like four surahs or five surahs away from another after that, verse number 7 and 8. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. As for the one who gets his book in his right hand, this is on Yom Al-Qiyamah, the book of his deeds, then he will have an easy reckoning. And he will have an easy reckoning. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our reckoning easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, going back to Surah Al-An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 52, and this is the last part of that verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. No, I thought I wanted to mention that verse. At any rate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just saying in this verse, you don't have to worry about their account, and they're not going to have to worry about your account. I mean, you're not going to hold anybody accountable on Yawm al-Qiyamah, nor is anybody going to hold you accountable on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold everyone accountable for what they do in this world on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Al-Mu'minun, and this is chapter number 23, verses 115 to the end of the surah, where Allah says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these ayah, do they think that we have created them in vain for no reason and that they won't return back to us? Allah is high above what they attribute to Him, al-Malikul Haq, the King, the Truth. No deity has the right to be worshipped except Him. Rabbul Arsh al-Kareem, the Lord of the al-Kareem throne, the generous throne. And whoever worships a deity other than Allah, he has no proof for it. And this is a clear statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it's no need of asking the Christian, what's your proof for the Trinity? Because you don't have no proof. And there's no need to ask the Christian, what's his proof why he worships Jesus? Or the Rasta, why you worshiping Jah, or whoever the people worshiping. There's no need to ask them for any proof. Just give them the proof. Because they don't, Allah says they don't have any proof for what they're doing. Whoever worships other than Allah, he has no proof because Allah hasn't given anyone the permission to worship other than Him. Don't ask them for any proof. Just say you're wrong. You're going to go to the hellfire. You die on that. And then call them to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah tells us, they have no proof. And their account is with their Lord. And indeed, the kafirs won't be successful. And say, my Lord, forgive and show mercy, and you are the best of those who show mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter number 21, verses 1 to 3. We might as well make this ayah as we're getting close to the time of Salah. We're also getting close to this account. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا اسْتَمَعُوهُ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in these ayat, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the account of the people has come near. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this to show that the day of reckoning is close. And this word for the people who know Arabic, this iqtaraba, it's a type of verb to show how, to emphasize the verb. Not just to show the closeness, but to show how close it is that this account of the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that He says, and the people are in ghafla. The people are in heedlessness, turning away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs humanity they have to stand for the day of reckoning. And what people do is just blindly wander on, living their lives like they don't have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there hasn't come any reminder from their Lord. Meaning, there hasn't come a reminder, meaning there hasn't come an ayah. And there's so many ayah as we're just covering some of them. That continues to remind the people, and an ayat hasn't come except that the people heard it, but they still playing with it. You mean I'm going to be held accountable for what I'm doing? Alright, I just hang out with the sister just a little longer, inshallah I'll get it together. He's just playing. He heard the truth, but he's just playing with it. Akhi, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now, inshallah. Just keep saying inshallah, meaning inshallah, when I die I'm going to fear Allah. And this is when the people are going to fear Allah, but it's going to benefit them none. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there's not an ayat that came to them except they heard it. And all of humanity has heard of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that they have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment. Even the people who disbelieve in the day of judgment, everybody heard that there's such thing as a day of judgment. When everybody's going to be held accountable for what they do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says, لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ, that they just playing around. Their hearts are just out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you all these reminders and your heart just is no heedfulness to it. You just hear all of this proof and then you just live your life as a disbeliever and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on that day, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Haqqah, I don't know the number of that. Verses 25 to 29, their hearts may be out of it right now. And they may be turning away, playing around, not taking its seriousness, being neglectful of that day, meaning by not having correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteous deeds. They're going to be like that today, but on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابِيَهُ ولم أدر ما حسابي يا ليتها كانت القاضية ما أغنى عني مالية هلك عني سلطانية. We'll translate after the ban, inshallah. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the case. And we ask Allah to make us die on belief that we have to be held accountable for what we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the one who has been given his book in his left hand, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the book of his deeds, then he will say, I wish I never got my book. This book of the deeds, when you see what's in it, he's going to say, I wish I never got my book. And I wish I never knew anything about this reckoning that's about to take place. I wish that it was final. I wish that my life in this dunya was final, meaning I just lived and died and that was it. Because my money won't help me at all and the power I had won't benefit. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing this is going to be the case of the disbelievers. And the believers don't need to live their life with this lifestyle of you only live once. So commit all the sins you could now because you only get a chance to commit them one time in your life. The Muslims, they don't live this life because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already just laying everything out for us. It's not like the disbelievers don't know what's going to be the abode. Allah is telling us. And none of us need to continue to disobey Allah like we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Allah lays it out for us. And this is the importance of this correct belief, that we let it change our lives to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us to make these the last ayat from Surah Al-Isra, chapter number 17, verses 13 and 14, where Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in establishing this belief of the Muslims and having our account on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take the account, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayah is showing us, really you can take account for your own self. Because you know just what you're doing. And it's like, when somebody dies, nobody has to tell him, you want the hellfire. He know he disbelieved. He know he didn't do right. And this is the case you see most of the people when they committed wrong. Yeah, I know I'm wrong. I know I wronged myself. And this is going to be the case. Your deeds is going to be as sufficient for you to make your own reckoning for you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and every person will have his deeds on his neck. Meaning every person, what you do, you gotta wear that. Nobody wearing what you do, but you. And you're going to have what you do on Yawm al-Qiyamah with you. In this world, we think we don't have to wear what the people didn't see us doing. I ain't do it. You saw me do that? I ain't do that. And people can get away in this dunya with framing, and because the people didn't see them, and the people don't have enough evidence against them. The people think that they don't have to wear what they do because nobody saw it. You saw me with the girl? So what you talking about? He thinks that he can do this on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that everybody is going to wear what he did in this world. It's going to be no escape. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing here, it's going to be on your neck. To show like it's going to be a little necklace with you, it ain't going nowhere. Every deed you do, you coming on Yawm al-Qiyamah wearing that necklace of everything you did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, and then we're going to take out a book that he's going to get, and it's going to be open. And it's going to be said, read your book. And let today be sufficient for you to bear witness against yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, let today, let your book of your deeds that you know you already did, let that be sufficient and giving your account for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that this reckoning that's going to take place, when you see what you did, you already know the case. It's not like you don't know what's going to be the punishment for the one who was a sinner. Oh Allah, I was a sinner, that means I go to Jannah, right? Nobody is going to be confused on that day when he gets his book And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who get their book in the right hand, and to have no account whatsoever, and just to enter straight into Jannah al-Firdaus al-A'la. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillah.